Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for February 23rd, 2016. The time right now is 7 o'clock p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Scarborough.
Thank you. And please note that I received a phone call earlier today from Councilmember Gamble advising me that he would be about an hour late this evening. So without objection, we will consider him excused in the event that we are finished early. We did have a Cub Scout pack that was going to do the Pledge of Allegiance originally scheduled for this evening. They weren't able to make it, and therefore Councilmember Camp is identified for the pledge. However, I have become aware that we have somebody in the audience who received an honor from France last year through the French Legion of Honor. He was knighted for his service in World War II, and he is the grandfather of one of the officers that will be sworn in today. And Councilmember Camp was kind enough to abdicate his role as Pledge of Allegiance sayer to Mr. Van Kirk this evening. So it is my honor, it is our honor, to invite Mr. Van Eaton. We're going to change your name to what it is. To have Mr. Van Eaton please come forward. Jack Van Eaton, please come forward. I thank you for your service, and will you lead us in the pledge, sir?
Very much. Thank you very kindly. Will you repeat after me, please? The Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And that was quite an honor. Thank you very much, sir. The next item that we have on this agenda this evening, then, is swearing-in ceremony for police officers Van Eaton and Robertson. Chief.
Thank you very much. Greg, could you come up here? First of all, thank you to all those in attendance this evening, Mayor Thomas, council members, family, and friends for our officer being recognized tonight. And thank you also, Judge Clough, for officiating the ceremony. It's my pleasure to introduce Officer Craig Robertson. Craig began his career with our department on October 12, 2015. Prior to joining our department, he served as an officer with Stevensville, Montana, and had prior experience as a San Bernardino County deputy. He currently lives in Redmond with his wife Lisa and their children Keegan, Lake, and Kai. Please help me congratulate Officer Robertson in joining our agency. And now for the oath of office.
Okay, now the only tip, I ask you to state your name. Just give us your name and we'll say state your name.
Okay.
Then that way friends and family here and loved ones want to take your picture, not mine. So raise your right hand, please. Repeat after me. I, Craig Robertson, do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of a police officer.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties of a police officer.
For the City of Monroe Police Department.
For the City of Monroe Police Department.
And I will do so to the best of my abilities.
And I will do so to the best of my abilities.
Congratulations to you and your family.
Is my lovely wife, Lisa.
He's got his vest on, so really jabbing him.
Yeah.
Craig, would you like to introduce any other family and friends that you have here tonight?
Sure. I just brought my immediate family. I was able to pry my three teenage boys away from their games and home, of course. So come on up. This is Keegan, my oldest. He's 17, senior, and should be going off to college hopefully here soon. Kai, he is our youngest, going to be a freshman next year. And Lake, he is a freshman. So we do all of them. And we're happy to be here.
Welcome. Welcome.
Next, I'd like to introduce Officer Sean Van Eaton.
That's you.
John began his career with our department on December 17, 2013. Prior to working for our department, he worked for the Department of Corrections, where he was part of the Department of Corrections Special Emergency Response Team. He currently lives in Snohomish with his wife, Susan. Officer Van Eaton graduated from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy in September, where he was the recipient of the highest in his class for firearms award and was voted upon by his peers as the classmate that they would most want to have as a patrol partner. You'll notice it took 2 years for Sean to graduate from the academy. This was due to a serious injury sustained 2 weeks prior to graduation in July of 2014. Just recently, Sean received a letter of recognition for the effort he put forth to overcome this injury and prepare himself for another police academy the following year. We are very fortunate to have someone with his determination and dedication to our organization. And I'm not supposed to deviate from the script like I've told many of you before, but I am this time that it's unusual for someone who graduates from the academy to be smiling unless they're glad to be out of there. But Sean, I noticed every time I'd see him at the academy or even the second time he went through was smiling again. I had a little concern what was going on up here. I've gotten to know Sean, and he is, I am very, very happy to have him in our department. And it takes a lot of dedication to go through academy 2 times. The first time he, when he injured himself, I think you were about 3 weeks or 2 weeks from the end of the academy, and because the healing process took a certain amount of time, he had to take the academy all over again. So he is double trained. So.
All right. Would you raise your hand, officer? We've got to get some cameras in. All right. Repeat after me. I, Sean Van Eaton.
I, Sean Van Eaton.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of police officer.
Faithfully discharge the duties of police officer.
For the City of Monroe.
For the City of Monroe.
Police Department.
Police Department.
And that I will do so to the best of my abilities.
And I will do so to the best of my abilities.
Congratulations to you and your family.
I'd like to introduce my wife, Susan.
She must have been practicing this. She's doing it pretty quick. Would you like to introduce any of your family and friends that are here?
I do have a very warm welcome of family and friends this evening, so I won't bring everybody up. Everybody's already met my grandfather. My mother's here. My sister's here. In-laws, friends. Yes, thank you very much for your support. Thank you very much.
Thank very proud to recognize these officers before this council, and I value their commitment to the Monroe Police Department. I'd like to invite all the families and friends over to the police department for some refreshments. Thank you.
Okay, so the meeting's good. I'll be back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Ms. Smoot's going out to get the sign-up list. With that said, is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, Ashley Sellers, 20930 East Rivermont Drive. Hello from the outside. I was wondering if after all this time, anybody? No? Okay. So I am here for two reasons. So Downtown Monroe Association, at some of their meetings, people have been talking about parking, and I am just reiterating this to you because I in no way pretend to think that this is an easy issue because... it's not. It's amazing. So there's been some feedback from a number of citizens just about downtown Monroe parking and the accessibility for handicapped individuals in Monroe. In particular, a gentleman who has a severely handicapped wife has a really hard time ever finding parking in downtown Monroe. So just kind of bringing that before you. Like I said, I know downtown Monroe is hot button, so I won't pretend that that's an easy subject. And the second thing, really more personal and something I'm realizing, I must be aging, because different things are starting to become really important to me. And just driving around Monroe and seeing the trash has really started to stand out to me recently. And this weekend, my husband and I tried to rally some people just in our neighborhood to pick up trash. And nobody came, but that's okay. So we spent the day picking up trash, and not even in a mile stretch. I mean, we had more trash than we'd even been in my husband's SUV. And I'm really noticing that this is a problem throughout Monroe, and I don't pretend to know, again, how to fix this problem, but there's the Albertsons Pagans Who Know Shopping Center. It's filthy. Downtown Monroe gets filthy with trash and gum, and we have a huge homeless, I'm not telling you guys anything, you don't know, a huge homeless issue in this city, and I, for one, have a huge heart for the homeless and serving them in the best ways we can. And I think, you know, I don't know if there's something that's just popping in my mind tonight, like what if you paid the homeless people $5 per bag of trash and you just have like a homeless rally along with citizens on the weekend or something. I know for ourselves we're going to start a Facebook page for downtown, for Monroe, and just try once a month to kind of do a trash cleanup at some designated area and then feed people afterwards. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention because it makes me so sad. I think the more I drive around and see new developments happening and people wanting to come here, part of that is cleanliness, and comparing us to other cities, which you can't help, is a big issue. And so just bringing that before you, mostly as a conversation starter. I'm sure you guys live here, so you see it too. But it's getting really, really pretty bad. I mean, you off of 520, is that 522?
522, yeah.
Yeah. Off of 522, those exits, I mean, the trash is just appalling. So just really more of a conversation starter than a complaint.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Okay. We'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is new business item number one. This is AB 16025, Discussion Municipal Campus Planning. And Mr. Feilberg's got this one.
Thank you.
I do want to note that because we had discussed previously the idea of doing some co-location with the community college and also with the school district, that I had had staff reach out to both the school district and also the community college, and that Deka's back there in the darkness, she's waving, from the school district to listen in. All right, Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. So we discussed briefly in the last couple council meetings about municipal campus and what to do. Based on the space studies we recently had done, as Joseph, you're back, we've been doing this since, I think, 1999. So actually it's been 17 years. So current spaces we have are on the left-hand column, and the space studies, with the addition of a few thousand extra square feet for the municipal court, which we now have, we didn't have when the space study was done. So basically the city needs approximately 22,000 more square feet of space in the office area, and then 11,000 more square feet in shop storage. Talking with Mr. Mannix from the school district, they currently have 20,000 square feet at their current location for the district office, and they need about 25,000 square feet.
Brett?
Yes?
I'm just curious. So we're essentially doubling, and the school district would only need 5,000 additional square feet?
That's what they said, yes.
Oh, okay. Why doubling for us and not for them?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They told me they needed 25,000 square feet. So I don't know. Based on our space study, based on anticipated growth of the number of employees, that came up with the 45,000 square feet in the space study, and then we added 5,000 square feet for the municipal court.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Just a question on that. So what is that growth like? What year did you evaluate to? So
this
is it based on what we need currently? Is it based on what we'll need in 10 years?
No, it's based on probably 15 years.
15 years,
yeah.
From now,
yeah.
Or when?
It was 15 years back there, but since we went through the economic downturn, we went back down and now we're growing back up. So with all the new and additional building going on, so if that trend continues, then you'll need more people.
Okay.
So.
Councilmember Kemp?
Thank you. I'm piggybacking on that question. For the school district as well, for that 15-year, or are they just looking at current five-year out?
I think he said 10 years.
10 years
was in his email. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we have one of the things we talked about is in addition to whether or not to co-locate with the school district, we also mentioned co-locating with the community college that they talked to us about, and they said they probably need about 25,000 square feet also is what they were looking for. This is the existing site we're on right now. That's 7.7 acres. I think the campus plan was in your packet that showed how that was going to put the stuff for just the city of Monroe on this site. We could also add, if we added more square footage for the school district, we'd have to go higher, and then parking would be an issue, so we may have to do a layer of parking underneath the building or something like that in order to get a sufficient parking on this site. There's this existing school district site. Existing school district site has got the red line around it. That's 3.5 acres. That's where the existing school district office is. We talked about just getting a piece of property. It's about the same size as this piece of property. And if you basically take those two blocks together, that's also a 7.7 acre site. So depending on what the council, you know, policy direction is on whether you'd like to do some revitalization downtown, is take over that whole area here and, you know, maybe do some retail along Lewis Street and do sort of what they're doing in Bothell with their new city hall and their revitalization of the downtown area. There's also the North Kelsey site, which the red outline is the property that's currently not being used by anybody and is for sale. That's 10.5 acres. It is kind of harder to use because rather than having one solid campus, you have to leave the drive aisles open for people to get to Lowe's. So that would be kind of break things up. And also something we talked about with the school district is doing something over on their property across the street. This is the old Frank Wagner. This is the current Frank Wagner elementary school. That's 11 acres, and we've talked a bit to them about maybe doing something with that. That we were having discussions about a year ago. So, any questions?
No, sir.
I do.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay. In this one, and are we talking about demolishing what is there?
That is, you know, up in the air. What we did was when we talked to both the school district and the Everett Community College was leaving this for the community college, renovating that for their uses, and then building a building over here that would house the school district admin offices and city hall.
And then the previous one went down by the glass companies. You talked about taking this 7 acres over here on the left.
Just doing the whole thing, yes.
So we would demolish the homes?
Yes.
And one church?
Yeah, there's
right there.
There's a church office there, a couple of businesses, you know, the old PUD building they're moving.
And so. No use for the old PUD building other than if we were to use that, we'd demolish the whole block?
Probably.
And demolish the old district office?
Correct.
Okay.
But that's, you know, that's an idea. You can save them and do all sorts of different things depending on how you want to develop.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. Glad you have the next photo. Maybe it's one more.
The other direction?
That one.
Okay.
There has been discussion in the past about the track area.
Yes.
Any investigation of that? Or?
Not a lot in one of our planning areas. You know, the sketches we were doing, we were doing parking up there. You know, we had discussed earlier about the road going through there. Last we heard from the school district and the Skyville Education Center parents is they really wanted to keep their recreational area next to Skyville Education Center. And there was also talk, you know, somewhere along the line about, you know, building a new school over here and turning that down.
Okay, so, I've heard that one
yeah.
as well.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Radler?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that's all the visuals we have. The basically, what the council would need to decide is whether we want to co-locate with one or both of those other entities, where would we like to do it, and you know how quickly you would like to do it. So there's several options if we go back to the existing site. The current campus plan, master plan that you have basically shows getting rid of all of this and putting in a new building, leaving that building and extending this for the shop area back here. That's just one plan. The other idea being is that, you know, since the police station is newer than this building by about 16 years, and also it's harder to build, more technically challenging to build jail cells, and they already have those over there, is maybe keep this building, have a common entrance in the center there where you'd go to the left to the police department, to the right to city hall kind of thing, and then build a new building up here. So that's just one of the options. So that's kind of the things that we need to know how you like to proceed on that. So
So, and I do have Councilmember Hanford, who I keep looking down, it says city attorney, and I have to think that's Councilmember Hanford. One of the things that would be useful, I mean, we could certainly go through these and you could maybe come up with questions or, you know, we can go back and forth throughout this evening. If there's anything up here, any of these sites up here that's just like a no-go, that would be helpful to know. That's one thing that would be helpful to know. If you're not interested in pursuing a partnership with the school district or the community college or both or either or whatever, that would be helpful to know too. But certainly this is an opportunity to get questions, get comments and things like that, and then we can go back, pull together more information and come back forward. You've got cost estimates that you've already looked at that are on a very, very coarse level that we talked about last week, and so that might give you some guidance also in terms of which one of these you'd want to do or not want to do. So I think those are just a couple of thoughts that I have.
And just one other thought is that on this site here, we own the property already, don't owe any money on it, whereas the other ones we'd have to, you know, make an arrangement either with the school district or pay off the debt that we owe on the North Kelsey property.
Right. And one of the concerns I have with the North Kelsey property is that it is retail space. And it, you know, you'd have the opportunity cost if you were to put something there of losing an opportunity for retail there. So that's one very significant concern that I have there in addition to having a loan there that we owe money on. Okay, so with that, do you have anything else, Brad? And then I'm going to go back to council. All right, Councilmember City Attorney, Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Brad, is that the only lot available in North Kelsey?
In that area of North Kelsey, if you want to go over to the other side of the theater, you have the old landfill.
Just north of Fred Meyer.
You have this property there. The city also owns that. It's the old landfill.
The hill.
Sorry. How many acres is that roughly?
Oh, it's about 11.
Okay.
No, it's available. We own it. There's probably somewhere between $1 and $5 million worth of cleanup costs on it.
You have grading to do.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, you have to dig out to get through the dirt and then go down, or you can leave it up elevated a little bit, which would then eat up some of your property, though, with getting a road to go up.
The parking.
Isn't there a space behind Walmart there?
That's owned by Walmart. That's not owned by us.
A sliver up there on the hill?
There's this hill, which is basically at a 45-degree angle.
Right.
Costs to do that would be extra to get put in reinforcing for the wall. If you recall, Walmart had a really hard time building their wall over here, so basically you have to continue the same thing. There's lots of groundwater coming out of that. That's why they stopped when the dirt got there, when they hit the groundwater. So, and then we'd also have to buy that from whoever owns it now.
How much is on parcel I've had?
Only about an acre. Yeah, and it's really, we own a little bit of piece of property right there, but it's very skinny and long, so you can't really, you know, about the only thing you can do there is a dentist office kind of size of building.
Okay. Dog run for canine? Dog run for canine.
Yes.
There you go. You still have the floor, Councilmember Hanford.
Okay. No, that's it for now.
Okay. Thanks. Welcome. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I have to agree about North Kelsey, if I understand correctly. It's a retail location. I'd rather keep it that way. So given a preference, I'd like that off the off the shelf. Question, I haven't seen it addressed, and I don't know if I can get it expressed correctly, but having a plant like this, office, and I assume we have more staffing, it's going to have an impact on neighborhoods. It's going to have an impact on local businesses, and I would think a positive influence. What would that impact be? I mean, if you can kind of give me a rough estimate, would we be increasing businesses. I'm thinking of sandwich shops, something like that. People go out for lunch, that kind of thing. And if we kept City Hall here, would we see an increase in business that way? If we move City Hall to the admin building that's closer to downtown, would that give an added benefit to downtown businesses in that regard? And is there any impact if we increase the size of City Hall to our local neighbors? We have a lot of housing around here, so. And if you can answer any of those, great. If you need research,
that's fine. No, it's going to all be made up anyway.
at least you're honest.
Yeah. Probably not. There'll be a little bit more traffic coming and going. Okay. You know, so, although that really impacts us more, because if you leave at the wrong time, it's really hard to get out of the parking lot.
That's your rush hour?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So, people now who work here either bring their lunch or they go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, so
it's where they go. I mean, if we can increase business to downtown, that's a good plus right there.
That's which way I walk. Most of the, you know, the crew, kind of the outdoor people, usually end up going to a fast food place to get their lunch. You know, they don't do the sit downs downtown. So that probably wouldn't have a large impact. We're pretty much doing everything that we do now. So the outside work wouldn't probably get any noisier than it is now. Maybe no impact on the neighbors. It would mostly be inside office staff. So that wouldn't have a large, you know, the other thing is that you're going to have somewhere between a 3- and 5-story building,
right,
which in the morning or afternoon you've got more shadows on the neighbors.
Okay.
But
in terms of positive benefit, it wouldn't matter if the building is here or if it's downtown. I'm trying to think of a way that we can increase business, it'd be make more sense to have it downtown.
The only thing we thought about on this one is, do you do the, you know, as part of this, do you do municipal plaza,
right,
kind of thing that you have concerts, you know, to draw people, and then when they're down there going, oh, well, I'm here, I might as well wander down the street and get something to eat.
Right.
So that would be a positive of this one for, you know, increasing the redevelopment of downtown kind of thing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, is there beach access to the river from that location? Or am I thinking further?
You'd have to go down the road and up and over and then down the road, Simon Road, to Buck Island.
Okay.
To get that.
So you wouldn't be able to incorporate something like, I'm almost thinking like a river walk, like it's snow.
Yeah, you could. What we have in the downtown plan is right, you know, Woods Creek is sort of along this area here, if you're looking
on the blue part.
But it's about 30 feet above the creek, so it's not on the creek, but it's an overview of the creek, so there's no down to the water look.
Okay. That's all I've got now.
And I'd like to go ahead and ask Mr. Osaki if he's got anything else to add in terms of any experience you might have with this sort of use affecting negatively or positively communities around it.
I think Brad covered it in my end.
Okay.
I think basically what we are in a lot of ways is an office type use. So the types of impacts that you'd expect from an office would be applicable to a city hall. I mean, you have basically office employees. The one distinction or difference I would make in terms of impacts might be the shops. If you have shops and you have truck traffic, you tend to have the public works staff start probably earlier than other regular office employees. So you might have a little more noise in the morning, and you may have residents nearby that are sensitive to that than other types of uses. But for all intents and purposes, City Hall or an office, we're a little different because we'll have some nighttime activity, city council meetings, planning commission meetings, and depending on the nature of the public, that may be good to have in a downtown because after a meeting, some people may want to go and frequent some shops. Weekends are probably going to pretty much dead like any type of office because there's not a lot going on here during the weekend. But if you build a new city hall facility and you can have some type of activities, recreational activities or things like that, then you might generate some more activity nearby. So in general, the impacts are going to be similar to an office. I'd be a little more sensitive towards the shop type activities or public works or parks and recreation and things like that and maintenance. But those can be managed. We just need to be aware of that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah. So you talked about what sites maybe not interested in pursuing. The North Kelsey site, I agree with what has been said. I think carrying the loan on it is a real deterrent for me than to use it for a City Hall site. And keeping that retail and, you know, a tax base there makes sense to me. So that's one I'd probably take off the table. The two sites I think that make the most sense would probably be the current site we're on, or, and I have no idea what the school district is thinking, the site across the 11 acres across on Main Street. Those make more sense to me than where the school district building is currently housed. It's, what, 3.5 acres? It's tucked away, and I know it seems it's closer to downtown. Maybe it is physically. I mean, we're on Main Street right here. It's not like we're that far from downtown where we are right here. But the 3.5 acres, would we have the ability to have public works, the shop, all of that stuff that we currently have back here on this site?
You'd have to give up the whole thing, all 7.7 acres. So take the...
So it's separated, though. You've got the 3.5 and the 7.7 over there.
7.7 is the... Well, actually, what you do is get rid of the street. You make that one.
Just make it one big thing. And then the unknown there is the businesses there, the church, all of that.
Yeah.
So that's not really within our...
Yeah, I mean, it just costs more. You have to buy them out, basically.
Right.
Increase your costs.
So you're saying take that whole site.
Yes.
So I think that would be the only way it would be possible is to have the whole site. But to me, the site we're on now makes sense as far as the size, where things are. And looking at the plan that was originally done in 2008, I believe, so that would need to be updated, I think. The city's already completed three of the...
We've done some of the small things, the decamp facility, gas pump out back.
So there's already been phases done in that plan, and the last phase really is redoing this building and building up, I guess. And if we did that here, we own the property. I wonder if we could do a plaza-like something. I know it's not in that plan, but we talked about that, some kind of plaza-like where we could hold events on this property. So I think that's worthy of considering. I think it makes sense for the school district admin building and the city building, and I've voiced this before, office-like, you know, needs, but the community college, I think, would be a different animal, because they're going to keep growing classrooms. Their needs are going to hopefully keep expanding. So I see that maybe being, you know, maybe okay for the immediate, but as they continue to grow, I see that being challenging to cohabitate space on that. So that's really the leader site, the 11 acres, it's right on Main Street across from here. That seems like a great piece of property, but Leaders and Learning is there. They've got, you know, they've got uses already in there, so I have no idea how the school district, so I don't want to make it sound like, oh, this is what we want to do, because I have no idea what the school district thinks of that, or, you know, it sounds like we'd flip or do something there, so. But that's an interesting location also.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I agree with Councilman Cutterback and Councilman Camp on the North Chelsea as well. I'm wondering, the only thing I don't like about either one of this piece of property or that one, and it's not that I don't like it. If we talk to the school district and they are part of the partnering, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be to the advantage of all to be closer to downtown, in that I don't know how much the school district takes off for lunch and goes downtown. I don't know how much we would go downtown if we were here, there in a City Hall building, but it would put everybody there within walking distance of downtown to go out to lunch if that's what they wanted to do, or do whatever else they wanted to do for lunch. That's a nice piece of property too, across this catty corner from us, kind of here. again, I don't see any problem with that one as a possibility as well. You still have, we have the question of how much to tear down and how much to leave. And in the downtown property down by the school district, would it be possible to leave the shops down here where they're at and just put the city hall and the school district in that position? In other words, have your gas, your fuel, your trucks, your maintenance and that stuff on the back half of this property and sell this half of this property to help mitigate some of the price of this project. So just some thoughts I would have.
Will you yield for a question? I want to make sure I understand. So you're one of your proposals is the administration at the other property where the school admin is now, and the shop stays in this location?
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
On the back half. On the back half. Where they're already there.
You said back half, and I was thinking the back half of that property. This one. But I got it now. Thank you.
That would keep the noise that Mr. Osaki talks about away from the downtown. And the next question is how much is the noise problem with PUD and their trucks going out of there?
Sure.
Is that part of the reason they left? Or because they own the other piece of property and they can get their money back by selling this piece?
That's it.
Okay.
Would you yield for another question?
Councilmember Hanford.
So, to clarify, are you saying that by leaving the shop end of things here, you're thinking maybe we could consolidate and stay on that 3.5 acres rather than take over the entire block?
The other location?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm thinking of the whole thing for the school district and the city hall.
Okay, so the whole block.
Yeah, it may not. You may only have to buy part. You may not have to buy the church. You may not have to buy.
Sure.
At least the PD.
Yeah.
You need that for parking.
Sure. I'm just kind of throwing things out.
Sure. No,
we talked about the noise. We talked about we're in this position. If we had the noise of trucks leaving, how is it any different than what PED is doing there already?
Yeah.
Or can you leave half of it, that half of the operation down here, and not have it up there where the noise might be a problem? But I like this. I don't know if I like it best, because I haven't seen all of the ins and outs or the goods and bads. I like it because it's close to downtown. I like it because people go to lunch because they want to get away from the office. So if they have walking distance, I mean, they may be more apt just to get out of here to go to lunch. Or here, you know how far it is uptown. You got to drive.
I know.
Well, you do. Unless you got an hour, you know.
If
you got an hour, you can walk uptown, go to lunch, come back. A lot of people only have a half hour. I yield.
Councilmember Gamble. Okay, thanks. First of all, I forgot to mention, when I saw Councilmember Gamble yesterday, he told me he was going to be late. And he's just supported me in whatever I said for this.
Just so you know.
Remember, he's going to be here.
So, a couple of questions. First of all, roughly how many people take the bus to this location right now?
Zero.
So, this being on a bus line, no one is taking advantage of it right now. Okay.
And you're talking about employees.
Employees, yes. Thank you. So, I think this location is like the easiest, but I think if we can somehow jump in downtown and help. That's just going to be an instant boost to the economy down there. And if we're talking about the whole block or as much of it as we can purchase, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but that's enough space for school district, community college, and all of the city
operations?
It'd be tight for community college because of parking. Because basically it's the same size as here. Because 7.7 acres is the total site, not just the extra. So it's basically the same size as this.
Right.
And so we can fit city, all city operations and parking on this site. If we do more people, we're going to have to do something with parking. So basically you're going to have to do like the first floor of the building would have to be parking. And then you add the community college, and that just increases the parking tremendously. Because we had when we looked at it earlier, we were staying over here and doing all the buildings over here. And then we were... Oops. That was it. No, I didn't. Oh, sorry. Wrong one. Let's see it. That one. Basically, in order to fit that, you used all of this as parking and the existing parking we had over here. So, yeah, if you add the community college, you need lots more room for parking. So you probably need probably another 3 to 4 acres for parking.
Okay. Can you go back to the...
Unless you start doing, you know, 5-story parking garages.
Yeah. Can you go back to the downtown option?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to think out loud here. So if we were able to do something like this, and on the corner right where it says 7.7 acres, where Lewis meets Fremont, if along Lewis and all the way down Fremont there, we were able to, or at least on the Lewis side, do ground floor retail and then offices above that, how many floors can we go up?
50? Is it 50 feet downtown?
It's 45.
Okay, 45.
Let's assume the ground floor is like 15
feet. 15.
And then 10 feet for
after that. Yes. So you can make it to a 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
4?
4, more or less, with current.
So ground floor plus 3 levels of offices.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Or classrooms, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that if we have to do the parking garage idea, we're looking for parking downtown. Why not? So if you're getting 4 layers of offices that's a lot of square footage.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's going to open up quite a bit of the land for parking. So. Why not make a parking garage somewhere, not obviously right there on Lewis, but off to the right somewhere? It would make sense. We're infusing the downtown with instant customers. It's not that everybody's going to go out to lunch every day, but there's a draw, right? People are going to come, they have to come down to the city hall for whatever. Oh, I'm down there, I might as well go there. It would possibly create parking downtown, which is something we're already looking at.
Okay. Anything further?
Yeah, I definitely want to do something with the school district. I've spoken about that in the past. But.
Okay. Brad, at one point in time, you had sample footprints. You'd be able, of the buildings.
Yeah.
You'd be able to superimpose these over these and bring them back to council so they could see what...
If we decide what we want to have.
So we narrow it down to maybe 2 of them. It would be helpful for me to see what they look like, and then certainly I can see there being challenges with working with multiple property owners, whether they're willing or unwilling to sell property, and I'm looking at that in particular on the west side of South Ferry. Mm-hmm. So, I think it would be helpful in a future conversation to have the footprints, the sample footprints on there so that we can see what that looks like. All right, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Brad, going back to the idea of
administrative buildings here,
shops kept on the current site. Initially, I kind of had a very similar thought, but then as I was reading through that 2008 plan and seeing all the surveys, it seemed like that there was a lot of efficiency value for staff to be all on the same campus. And would that still be the case?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I would, based off that and just my own personal preference, certainly like to see that the entire campus stay together. I tend to lean more towards using our site that's already paid for, and we just improve and build up and certainly coexist with school district. Although there is some appeal to also being downtown, but I think we run into or have the potential of running into a few more challenges with the properties we don't own already. So, but I'm very much interested in hearing more details.
Thank you. Now, I know that a couple other people are, we typically go in order, but Councilmember Davis hasn't spoken yet, so rather than take Camp and Scarborough, I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge Councilmember Davis, and we'll come back to Scarborough, Camp and Scarborough.
Thank
Councilmember
you.
Davis.
So my 2 cents, I agree with the North Kelsey, that's retail, it's going to stay retail. I think the present location is probably the easiest and most economical, obviously, for obvious reasons. And I like the idea of it all being in one place and all, but I'm intrigued by the downtown idea too. And I think I agree with you. There's opportunity there to maybe do two or three things that we want to do with that. So I'd like to see more, maybe a little more idea about what we can do, and maybe some ideas about what is the school district looking at, or what would they consider? Because I like that idea, that might work out better. But I think honestly though that this location is probably the easiest, most cost effective. So
thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I agree. If the property's already paid for and we have that advantage. And again, I'm still intrigued by having something downtown. I think the impact would be interesting. Originally, I was going to speak out against having the community college there until you started talking about a parking garage. My concern would be you have students, you have parking, and all the issues with that, but you also have after hours, people who are studying and eating and doing whatever students are doing. Having them in a location closer to downtown would be a really positive benefit, in my opinion. Again, you're working with three groups, the school district, city hall, and the community college. So maybe it's just blue sky. I would like more information about what our possibilities are there. And we may be way out of the ballpark. Like our initial discussion about downtown, we came up with a Cadillac plan and ended up with a Chevy plan for what we could afford. That might be the case here. But I'm intrigued. I'd like more information about our options downtown. And if we were to go with the plan, would we stick with the plan we were presented for this location? Is that the idea?
No. I think the idea is that...
Or just that's an option, or that's something we could be doing.
It's something we can do. I mean, I think that if we're going to do this... So one of the things that I recognize is that we have sort of moved from facility to facility over the 100-plus years that we've been here, as
right.
far as I can tell. And we've just sort of gone into the space that somebody else had. So it was designed for some other use. We're sitting in a car dealership right now.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that we should be looking at building a facility that will work for the city for the next, 50 years or something like that. That is... That will work for the function that we serve here.
Right.
And if to do that means that we need to take more down here than what was envisioned in the plan, or do things different than what's in the plan, I think that's something that we need to at least look at.
and just make certain that the investment we make will be one that we will be using for some time.
Right. I think the other advantage of working with or having a school administration or a community college involved in it is as the city grows and City Hall grows, they effectively could be moved out to their own locations.
Correct.
And we and City Hall could eventually take it over, extending the life of the whatever building we end up with, and helping our investment in something like this. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thanks. Before we go on to the next person, can you pull back to our existing site? And one of the things that's missing on there that we that is up for sale right now is the bottom is the southwest corner right there, and so that's one other thing that I understand the fire district might be making an offer. They've made an offer on, but that was one other thing that was brought to our attention recently is taking that building, purchasing that building for a couple $1 million. Then you'd have to retrofit it, but you'd then be adding on to our existing campus, which is what we did with the Walzer building. You know, at what point in time do you stop sprawling the campus around and you just rebuild what you've got where you have it because you own the property outright and the location is working instead of adding on? So anyway, just FYI, that that bottom corner, and how many acres would you say that is? Maybe one and a quarter?
Yeah, so I know it's 18,000 square feet, the building size.
The building is, yeah. Okay.
And it has parking.
Okay. Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, I think, like everything that's been said, I agree with Councilman Camp and Councilman Davis on the downtown possibilities about bringing downtown more together, if you will. I think the dark horse is, and Ms. Smith, you're here. You can, is the school district as interested in, because you've got half the property, and is the school district as interested in amalgamating? We don't know, I guess.
So the conversations that we've had with the school district going back to the last 2 years is that they're interested in having a conversation about co-locating. They did just run their bond last year though, and an administrative building was not on it. So that, you know, Ms. Smith may need to go back and talk to her school board and see what their interest is still, whether they'd be interested in selling the property or conveying the property to us in downtown, and then what it is they need. Would they be willing to have us build an oversized city hall, so to speak, knowing that we could grow into it over the course of a 50-year period or so, and have them lease a portion of the space, just like Councilmember Camp mentioned, and over time they phase out into their own building, you know, at some point in time if that happens. So I think there's some conversation that we can have with the school district, and I don't want to put Ms. Smith on the spot. If you have anything that you'd like to offer, you're welcome to come to the podium. Otherwise, staff can certainly follow up with you following this meeting.
So I have one thought just to
come on up to the podium, please. Yeah. And just to announce your name for the recording, please.
So I'm Steve Smith. So just one thought in about the Frank Wagner School, and so that is on the bonds. So there'll be substantial remodeling done on the campus on the left. So it's not in the property that you have noted, yeah. But and I, without having those drawings in front of me, I don't know specifically what the impact would be. But the point about leaders, so the old Frank Wagner School is full.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actively used every day. So, and that is not anything about central office. So that is, those are programs that would need to be relocated somewhere. And then also the Wagner Auditorium is in the process of being redone and refurbished by the Mural Arts Council in particular, with the idea that that would be a big community draw. So that's kind of in the midst of a substantial project that also is designed to include more community. So part of that's working about that. But otherwise, spot on, the district would appreciate an opportunity to partner, right? Anything that we can do to kind of join forces and meet the needs of lots of folks. That's the only thought about the Frank Wagner areas. There are quite a few moving parts there right now, so it would take more conversations.
Okay.
Sounds good. Can I ask one question?
Go ahead.
If you don't mind. I'm sorry. I know you've got...
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
We've been talking about the school administration building. I've been there. I have my opinions of it. What are your opinions of if it were to go away?
Tears would not be shed.
I kind of guessed that.
And I think, so the short version is we do have some bond money to do some of the fix-up if there's money left over after focusing on the schools, but the building is old enough that we really can't, I mean, it's so far beyond remodel or new carpets even, right? So literally at the risk of sob story. I mean, there are holes in the carpet, but we can't even pull the carpet because of asbestos. And right? So the depth of need is beyond really what we can do something about. So... And the space isn't too much shy of what we need. I mean, there are a number of people who kind of share a lot of cubicle space, but it's not that far off. It's mostly the addition. It's just kind of past. We have a boiler that, so we may or may not have heat. I mean, things like that. But, you know, it's just too much to do something about it.
Thank you.
So before you sit down, I've got a bunch of lights. I'm going to turn them all off. I've got you listed here, so we'll come back. Does anybody else have a question? I saw that. Does anybody else have a question for Ms. Smith while she's up? Councilmember Scarborough?
Do you know if the auditorium is on the historical registry?
It is not. There's no buildings inside City Monroe that are on the historical list. Okay.
But there's a lot of sentiment there, I know, and they're putting a lot of money in.
The footprints that we did actually kept the auditorium and actually made the lobby of City Hall to be the event lobby for the auditorium for shows, because there really is no lobby space. Actually connected the two together.
Okay.
How many people do you have employed at the administrative building? Ballpark. I don't even...
Super rough.
In the administrative building there?
Yeah, well, because we have technology, it has to spread out into other buildings.
Okay.
So I don't know specifically how it's in that building.
Okay.
It kind of had to spread.
Right, okay.
Quite a bit.
Okay. All right, anybody else have any questions for Ms. Smith? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and re-engage the lights here.
Look at me. I'm good.
I feel like Star Trek. Okay, so you're done. Councilmember Hanford, you were next.
Let's see, I want to know how he hit this button over here.
Yeah, so I forgot to mention Councilmember Gamble agreed with my idea. He thought that was a great idea. So, the other... I don't know, I must be tired because I forgot where I was going with the whole bus line thing. So, to finish my thought, if we were able to move to something like this, with this being right on the bus line, this whole area would be perfect and prime for housing and housing development to sell off. So I think we can realize a lot of our money back in selling that off if we were to do something like this. The other thing I was thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way you do this is you make contingent offers on property, each of those properties, if we were to pursue this, and they all, none of them go through until they're all in agreement, and then...
You could do it that way. I mean, we also have the possibility of doing eminent domain if we'd like to. So that's up to a policy decision for the council, depending on how they want to do it.
And how does that work? Can you just describe?
Basically, my understanding is eminent domain is you basically find out what the property is worth, file papers with the court, say here's your money, and if they don't like the amount of money, they take you to court to sue you. So you actually get the opportunity to actually take title of the property. I'm giving them money.
Sure.
And then they can say, no, it's not, you know, it's worth more than that if they would like to fight it.
Yeah. Okay, so just to clarify, so if we were able to secure from basically McDougal to Ferry Street, or Fremont Street,
there.
Yep, that entire block, And we were able to work out an agreement with the school district. And we were able to go four office levels plus a retail on the bottom, right?
No, that's three. Three in office levels.
It's four total.
Four total.
With the current height limit.
Okay. So retail at the bottom.
Mr. Osaki?
So there's an interesting part about our downtown commercial zone. The height requirement, the limit, is actually, our downtown commercial zone is divided into four areas. So there's a base of 35 feet in all four areas, and then in two of the areas, Historic Main and the Borland area, you can go up to 55 feet if it's mixed use. And so we would need a residential component to get to the 55 feet. And then I just want to add this, that for the life of me, I'm not sure why, but government facilities or conditional use permit require a conditional use permit in all four areas of the downtown area, which means as of right now, you would need to go to a public hearing for the hearing examiner who makes a decision as to whether or not the use would be allowed at that site. Now, in the public zone, which is what this is zoned right now, which is what most schools and government facilities are zoned in the city, the height limit is 45 feet. But in downtown, it's 35 feet, 55 feet if it's mixed use. But we're not talking mixed use, because mixed use would have a residential.
So then it wouldn't be four stories, it would be
three stories.
A retail and two stories on top of that.
Unless you change the zoning code.
Right.
Unless we change the zoning code.
And before you continue, please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble entered the chambers at 8:06. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Councilmember Hanford.
That would all have to be talked through, but my thinking was, if we were able to get all of that, and we were able to go up so that we have a ground floor of retail that where we can lease the space out, and then have two, three, four layers of offices on top of that, I'm curious to know if then, as well as the parking garage idea, two, three story, four stories, whatever, I'm curious to know if we could vacate this entire facility, the entire property, and place everything there with given those variables. And I don't need an answer. You might not have an answer right now, but something. That would be something I'd be interested to hear.
Probably, but the big thing is the conditional use permit and what requirements would be, especially for the outside storage things, which aren't usually allowed in that zone. So, you know, starting the trucks and things like that, so what requirements would be placed on the development?
Sure. My thought would be that, you know, back in the grassy area, way off of the main drag, is where all those type facilities would be, but
then you have housing immediately adjacent to it.
And you've got Woods Creek right
then
there
you have
too.
Woods Creek down here, which you have the shorelines jurisdiction.
Sure.
So you know, yep. Those kind of things.
Anything further?
No. So I would love to hear back thoughts on that. And I still think the college idea. I mean, if we're gonna go big, let's go big. Let's get it all. If we can at least get the college going and get the school district going, we know what the college basically needs. They've just told us square footage, and I think it'd be fairly easy to negotiate contracts and figure all that out. And then 10 years from now, if we need more space, cross that bridge when we get to it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I was going to ask if the current admin building was protected under a historical factor, but you answered that. So things that we're talking about coexisting with the school district, and I know it's been focused on just the administrative piece. I mean, do any of these sites, would there be enough room to coexist? Also with the school's maintenance facilities as well, put it all on one.
or if there's ever any desire to.
Depends on how much maintenance you're talking about. You know, want to go with the whole bus thing? No.
No.
So, because their current maintenance shop isn't that big, so you can probably tuck them in somewhere.
Okay.
But,
Just curious, and like I said, if we're talking about coexisting together.
Is there, do you have anybody anywhere else besides the little building next to Frank Wecker?
Not besides the bus.
Yeah, the bus stop, yeah. Okay.
The technology is housed on
Berkeley. Berkeley, yeah.
And I guess this would come up in the studies that we're... If we move forward, or as we move forward, it would come up. But just knowing that, you know, we're looking 15 years out of this is kind of what we would need, and based off the feedback you got from the school district, you know, they're saying 5-10 years out. And when we're talking about stuff like this, as long term as it is, I mean, 10-15 years out is not that far away. That I just. I guess of all of this, the one nagging concern I have is are we going to either organization that go or partner that goes into this, are we going to outgrow it too soon or too quickly? I guess is just what stands out in my mind. And again, this will come up in the studies as we move forward, but just that's sitting there in the back of my mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Thank you. Looking at this picture, you know, there's some more hurdles for the school district than there is for us. Where are they going to put their maintenance? If we take that, where are they going to put leaders in learning? Where are they going to put the portables for Frank Wagner Elementary? If you go to downtown, Brad, go to the downtown, they lose not only their administration building, they lose preschool, and they lose their warehouse down here in this corner. Could they put their maintenance in the current PUD building? There'd be more than enough room there if you could keep from demolishing that part and then putting the rest around. But those are all some hurdles I see in those two properties, and the only thing I see with this property is I presume we're talking about developing the back half and then demolishing the front half for whatever we need that we've taken out of its existence in the back half back there. In other words, we're going to take the whole back half of this thing and build the new city hall. And then what do? We leave the jail, the police department, and then we do something with this front part. No, I was...
When you said this site, you meant this site.
And then with that site, you're talking about displacing everything in the back of this property back here down here to build the new city hall.
No. The current plan is this basically becomes a shop building long down here.
Okay.
This basically, they start building a building here, and then kind of like move the people in here over there and kind of build it around. So it kind of wraps around without displacing too many people, kind of rotate around as the new building gets built. And then something else gets taken down. So you end up with the city hall up here and then parking lot here and the shops back here.
Thank
so
you.
It demos the existing police station also?
Yes. Okay. That's what I was thinking about earlier when we talked about is leaving the police station and building something in between. Because that would leave the room in the current plan for the new building. That would be part of the room that would be needed for the school district if you went with a co-locate for them.
Okay. All right. I don't see any other lights. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just a question about the college. You spoke about kind of the conversations we've been having with the school district. Any more update on on Everett Community College?
No, where things were before is we were talking with Robert. He was our probe steward, our primary contact, and what became readily apparent in the conversation is that we have different funding sources.
Sure.
We have different needs. The school district's going to grow at a slower rate. The same thing with us. And then
they are going to want to grow substantially. The other thing, too, is that I think they want to have visibility. They want to be near a bus line, and they want to have visibility. And if we go to the Frank Wagner picture, I, like you all, even though we can't drive the boat on this, I mean, this is their business. You know, it's Everett Community College, so it's not something that we can drive. But I thought that it would be nice to have that sort of thing, that sort of facility develop, like along North Kelsey. Because of the proximity to the downtown, that is on a bus line, and I saw the ability to have interaction between students coming in and professors, teachers, being able to walk to the downtown, which is not that far away from that. It's just two blocks this way. But in the conversation that I was having with Robert at the time, that visibility was very important. And yeah, where they are right now, they've got the visibility from Highway 2. So assuming that everything is still about the same, I think that they would prefer to have something that is not, you know, downtown. And then, again, the different funding source through the state, and then they want to grow, you know, substantially. I think it would be harder for us to co-locate with them based on the conversations I was having a year ago with them.
Well, that was my impression, just because, you know, Fryland's in Lake Tye and close to 522 and right off 2, you know, has been a really great location for them. So for them to move downtown, in the amount that they want to and need to grow over the next, you know, 5-10 years, it seems like that would be a more challenge, even though it's a track to think about partnering with them, it would be more challenging.
Yeah.
To figure out that project.
The other things that became apparent in our conversations were scheduling. I mean, we have been talking as a community about what to do with City Hall for well over a decade. I know I was talking about it well over a decade ago. And, you know, if we're going to link ourselves to other organizations, it may make the scheduling that much more difficult. If there is an interest to do something in the nearer future, by us doing something on our own would probably be simpler to do. You know, you don't have the schedule with another entity to work with. But, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll have the conversation with the school district. It may be that if we were to overbuild a facility and do so with an agreement in place, that we would have enough revenue coming in to cover a portion of the debt servicing on the building. They may be willing to jump at that if they own the property free and clear where the administration building is, which I suspect they do. You know, it would only be the cost of moving and then the cost of rent. Well, that's a cost they don't have right now. So I guess where I'm going with this is that we need to take a look at the scope, schedule, and budget of these and talk a little bit more with our partners and put some things on, you know, put some polygons on the maps here and just kind of see what this looks like and come back to council with some benefits and risks associated with each one of the alternatives. So,
yeah, I heard you know, a few comments about how great it would be to be closer to downtown, and I don't disagree because I think that would be an added benefit. But I think going through an analysis of, you know, what our needs are, does the property fit that, how much we'd have to go to get a conditional use permit or change the permitting, what the efficiencies are, how much it's going to cost. I think all those are more critical items than moving it downtown. So I think having a clear analysis, you know, of what our needs are, you know, what are we going to get that's going to enable us to grow in the manner at least expensive for our residents. Right. I think that's what we have to focus on in the efficiencies and the things they talked about in this campus plan, about having it all in one spot and all those things, I think are the most important pieces for us to look at. And then if there's added benefits of adding to downtown or increasing business, that's an added benefit.
Right.
But in my mind, shouldn't be the driver of what we do. It shouldn't be the driver of how we make decisions.
You know, the other thing that occurred to me, if we can go back to the downtown one, is
you know, while you've got an opportunity cost in North Kelsey with the loss of retail, you also have the opportunity cost of what else the 3.5 acres can be. If the school district vacated that building and co-located with us on our current site where we are right now, there aren't that many parcels that are that size, that are that close to the downtown, and that have close to creek front access for Woods Creek. It
could kickstart downtown.
It could kickstart downtown with private investment.
Yeah.
And I get concerned, and of course I'm willing to listen and to do more analysis, don't get me wrong, but just what I see is flashbacks to North Kelsey and acquiring North Kelsey, thinking that we were going to flip the property for a profit, and I want to avoid, I'm concerned about the potential of speculation in acquiring property that's already retail, like along Lewis Street, and then us building and becoming landlords again, hoping that retail comes in to populate where retail is right now, plus other property owners that may not be willing to sell. When we were initially talking about this on staff, I think I was just thinking of the 3.5 acres and also the PUD building. I wasn't thinking of, you know, the entire blocks and all the ownerships there. And that can be really complicated to work through. And I'm not interested in using eminent domain to acquire properties for a municipal campus. And that may be what we would be facing for some of those properties there. So those are some of the thoughts that I have and the conversation we've had. And again, I'm willing to listen, see other points of view, and we'll do the analysis. But these are some of the thoughts that are going through my mind. With all that said, it puts me back to the property we're sitting on right now that we own free and clear. You know, I was kind of lining up what is the land cost to this property versus another property. There is no land cost here. We already own it. You're just dealing with demo and reconstruction here. There's more certainty, less risk in building here. And if we think that we're going to make this into housing, we've got to rezone the property and go through that process, and then we've got to, you know, there's speculation there, and that we've got to find somebody that would buy the property. We do own it free and clear, but if we're planning on using that to build, you know, the other facility, we're taking a risk by hoping that we can sell this. So, I don't know, there are a lot of moving parts, and it goes back to the question of schedule with the scope that we go for, but it goes back to the question of schedule, and one of those packages could take years to do, the other one could take a lot shorter period of time. I'm not talking months, but I feel more confidence with being able to redevelop the site we're sitting on right now than the other options that we've talked about. That's all. Councilmember Cutaback, did you have anything else? Okay. Councilmember, I keep on going to call you Councilmember Attorney. Councilmember Cutaback.
That's okay.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Anything we choose is going to take years. It's going to take some time. My concern with this location, I mean, I'm intrigued by the whole downtown concept. That's why I'd like to have a little bit more information. If we build out here, will we meet our needs for, well, I think we're looking at 15 years? Is that correct?
Yes.
So we'll meet our needs for 15 years. And that, again, that's, as was mentioned before, that's not that far out. You had mentioned one point, 50 years. Looking ahead for Monroe, should we plan on building out to meet 15 years now, plan to build out for another 15 years, or aim for something a little bit further and see Monroe in 50 years in 2066? There's a lot here. There's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of moving parts. There's advantages and disadvantages. And I agree, I don't want to get into a retail hope that we're going to be able to have some storefronts that magically we will have tenants. So I don't think, there are advantages in both. It sounds like we've really come down to these two areas.
Mm-hmm.
There's advantages to either one and some significant disadvantages to at least one of them.
I just don't think we've got enough information to really come to a really firm, I don't even want to say a firm conclusion, but a firm opinion on which one could possibly be better. So I just want to leave the door open at this point and continue to move forward a little bit. I know we're in the initial stages, and it's good information tonight. I just wanted to say that. Good opinions and good concepts that I hadn't thought of looking at the information that we had here. And that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Hanford.
So just a couple more things just to throw out to think through. To go back to the downtown one. So you have to necessarily do retail, or you could start with retail space but fill it with other things. I'm just trying to think of, like, we've been talking about downtown bathrooms for years, and so you could have downtown bathrooms at that main level. You could have the Chamber of Commerce or something like that right there on street level. So just throwing out a couple more ideas. That's it.
Okay. Sounds good. Mr. Feilberg.
Just one thing about the retail gamble is not the gamble. is how you finance. You know, if you do a public-private partnership where actually somebody else owns the building, we lease from them, they're the ones who are trying to find the tenants for the retail spaces.
That's another.
Which would give you the hint, if no one would want to do that, that's probably not a good idea. But if the private sector says, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, we'll, you know, build that building and take care of that section of it for the retail, they're responsible for getting the leases, we're not paying for it, and we just, you know, pay for the part that we're using.
That was a good point. That's what they did, I think. Is that what they're doing in Bothell?
They have a P3 for Bothell. Okay. I'm not sure what their retail component is. It's tied up with McMinnons and the Cool and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that was something I'd forgotten about, is that there are a variety of different ways to approach this too, like where you lease the building. I know the city of Redmond had worked something out where they ended up subdividing property that they owned. A private company built their new city hall. They had a 30 or so year lease, at the end of which I think they own the building that this company owns. Something along those lines.
The packet, I think, was the list of all the different
private
options there are, who owns what, when, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So that's a very good point. Okay, so we'll go ahead and we'll pull together more information. It sounds like we're focused on these two sites. Will council be okay if all we do is focus on these two sites? All right. So we'll focus on these two sites, get together with more information, and you're putting your finger up.
Co-locating? Yes.
I'm hearing yes.
Not the community college.
Does anybody have any objection to us only focusing on the school district and not the community college?
I think it'd be worth asking them if we were to do something this size downtown and build a parking garage, if that would be something they'd be interested in. I think the bus line goes right down Main Street, right?
No, those are on the back of us.
No, I'm talking about
here.
Oh, here.
It goes up
Kelsey Street and then down Highway 2.
Does it go on Main?
Does not go on Main anymore. Okay.
But I agree with that. Since we started discussion with them previously, I think if we've kind of narrowed it down to the two sites, to go back to them and say, we're looking at these two, do these interest you?
Okay.
In the future, just to wrap that up.
Okay, so we'll go back and approach them on the location, talk with them a little bit about it, and we'll see if they want to continue, and we'll talk with the school district as well. All right, and then we'll come back and report out to council. Great. Anything further?
I just have one more question.
Yeah, Councilmember Cutterback.
Brad, in the two sites then we're looking at with the acreage on there, and I know in this campus plan they had kind of a building, and the square footage needs that you said were 15 years out. Would there be room on either of those sites for a second addition? You know, most buildings you look at, you do a phase one. It's what you need right now for the next 15 years, but you always want to plan for 10 or 15 years something easily that you could add on?
The limitation would be parking.
The limitation would be parking.
Basically, you put a building on it, you're maxed out on parking. You put more office space, you need more parking. So the second addition would be more parking, more office, and then
have to be a parking structure. And feeling if we co do a partnership with the school district on both those sites, I know this is just maybe a little bit of a guess, but would we be maxed out with the building size with the parking?
Actually, on this site right now, we have a problem with parking for school district. We'd have to do something.
For both of us right now.
Right now,
so
yeah.
We'd have to do something right now for our needs right now for parking there.
Yeah, we'd have to look at how much landscaping there was. You know, can you, you know, scoop the building over a little bit?
Sure.
Free up some more space to do more parking or something like that. So that would have to be looked at.
Okay.
How does that compare to the downtown property? To have the same issue? Or?
Well, it depends on whether shop, you know,
what do you got
if all this stuff goes down there. So if that stuff doesn't go down there, probably not.
Okay. Right.
You could probably have enough room for parking with both of us. If all that stuff goes down there too, then you got the same problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything further, Council? All right, not seeing anything. Thank you very much, Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
All right, next item that we have on the agenda is council member reports. We didn't have a committee meeting this evening, so we'll go ahead and go directly into individual reports. Council member Scarborough.
Well, I'll just let you talk about the movie. That'll encompass my report.
Okay, sounds good. Council member Gamble.
Yeah, no, this the event last night, the Paper Tigers, was fantastic. It was wonderful to see all of the different entities represented there across the board. Well attended, very good program. Statistics, I enjoyed the statistics at the beginning as much as I did the film. And for those that didn't get a chance to see it, I highly recommend. I think they talked about doing another showing. In March, is that great? Anyway, we need to do more stuff like that as a community. I know it was just around a movie, but just to have that amount of leadership in the room, it just felt, you know, to me it was power. Powerful. You can feel that there was just a lot of people that cared. Hopefully there'll be some good that'll come out of it. So anyway, that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing here.
Councilmember Kemp.
Just to echo the comments that I heard about the movie and the event last night. I agree that the statistics and the scientific backing for some of the findings they have were incredible. And it was really an eye-opener. I really thank the community or the group that put that on. It was well worth it. I couldn't remember their name. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I wasn't able to make Paper Tigers last night, but spoke to a lot of people attended, and both Councilmember Kemp and Gamble's points. It also just feels good that we have a community that has organizations that participate and support into that. So, I heard a lot of great positive things about it, so look forward to being able to catch the March screening. Last week, I was fortunate enough to be asked to attend the Tri-River Monroe Planning Meeting, and Tri-River Monroe coming like time March or June 18th. It's going to be huge. It's going to be very exciting. Lots of young, just incredible athletes, and it's going to be bigger than last year by the sounds of it, so very excited for that. And March 3rd, I mentioned it at previous council meetings, but the Board of Health, that's our March 3rd is our ad hoc meeting in regards to kind of the future of the Board of Health. So if you had a chance to look through that 200 some packet that was emailed out, if you didn't, that's okay. I get it. any questions, let me know. Anything I can take back from our council.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, I was sorry to miss the showing last night. I was really looking forward to it. My son had a playoff basketball game, which they lost in double overtime by one basketball.
Oh, wow.
So it was a nail biter. So it was worth it going to the game, but I was sorry to miss the movie. I really wanted to make it. And just thanks to the Monroe Community Coalition. Not, you know, Monroe's so great because we have a coalition like that that is looking at these issues and backing it up by data. So thank them publicly for putting that together. And Joe Nagel does a great job leading that. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Hansford.
Thank you. Yes, was there last night and echo what's already been said. Very, very powerful evening. That's it.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
I forgot to bring up on Saturday, and I wanted to make sure I touched on, especially with Deacon in the room. Mrs. Boyle and Mrs. Hartway put together a trip for the 7th and 8th, all of the basketball teams for Park Place Middle to go to the Husky game. Boys and girls teams. And it was fantastic. And it was great to see, you know, young women and men represent the city very well downtown. There wasn't any shenanigans or anything like that. But a bus full of 35, 36 middle schoolers, they did a great job. And Mrs. Boyle and Mrs. Hartway did a fantastic job organizing that. And the kids just had a great, great time. So a lot of fun. And they won, which was a plus. Anyway.
Thank you. Out to staff, Mr. Worthen, Ms. Nelson, Mr. Osaki.
The City of Monroe participates in the Reduction Act requirement, and we're required to participate because we have employers in the city that are subject to the state commute curb reduction requirements, and that program is administered through community transit, and they let us know this past week that we have been selected as the employee workplace of the fourth quarter of 2015 for the work that we do towards commute curb reduction, which is basically encouraging employees to use alternate modes of transportation. So it's kind
right
of
at the bus lane.
Very nice, the bus lane.
It's right out front.
And
Brad, would you like to revise your comments from earlier?
Yeah,
I'll revise the bus. That's the bus now.
Mr. Osaki,
I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that Melissa Place, who's a senior planner in community development, is the city's employee trip reduction coordinator, and I think it speaks to the work that she does to try to at least encourage people to use alternate modes of transportation. But there should be community transit. They're going to put a little press release out next week, so if you see something about that, that's why.
Good to know. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Osaki? All right. Mr. Fowler?
I have a question.
Okay, go for it.
So just to follow up on Councilmember Rasmussen's comments about Prime and Road, they said that when they opened up registrations, they had 249 registrations within 6 hours, and they're capped at 300. So.
Wow.
And they expect to hit that.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
We need more hotels.
Yeah. Yes.
Tree Place, if you drive by, it actually looks kind of like a road now. They should be pouring curbs this week. They'll put down the first lift of asphalt next week, and the week after that, they'll put down the sidewalks.
How close are we to it being open?
It'll be open by September.
Okay.
A lot of asphalt.
This is.
I heard that.
There's Galaxy Theater. Walmart's over there now. This is the Highway 2 bypass right away. City limits there where it crosses, and city limits at Woods Creek Road. We have been talking to. Snohomish County, Washington State Department of Transportation, and we found the person who actually is in charge of the right of way, and they mentioned to us and said, hey, you guys want to put a trail? You can get a trail lease from us. So it's in the comprehensive plan that we want to have a trail of some sort along the SR2 bypass right of way, and the council mentioned that a few months ago about the trail out there, and so we are applying for a trail lease from them. And supposedly it's free. So we'll see what the conditions are when they actually say, well, we'll give it to you for this. In addition to that, same office that's in charge of right of way said, and we also said, well, if you want to do a trail, how about a road? They said, well, we can do a road conveyance. So we were working on them for having us do either a road there or Frontage Road 7. So,
We'll see what they do. That works out.
Magic man.
That's right, right there.
If you talk to him long enough, you run into somebody who says, sure, we'll give it to you. So we will see how those two things play out as we are making our applications to them and see what they have to say about that.
That's great.
Thank you, Brett. Anybody else on your list?
Yeah, you two.
That's impressive.
Okay, so just going through a couple of the things for me. Councilmember Camp and I attended the Snohomish County Cities meeting last Thursday night. We had a presentation from the City of Everett regarding low barrier housing or homelessness, housing for people that don't have housing. It was very similar to the presentation that I'd heard when Governor Inslee was in Everett speaking. Councilmember Camp, do you have anything that you want to add from that?
It has some merit. I would like to get more information, especially on some of the items that we discussed on their presentation, clarification about how it would be implemented. Now, they're putting it in Everett, or that's the plan?
I'm understanding that the county will be issuing a request for concept proposals,
right,
and that the City of Everett, along with others, may end up applying for that. I seem to recall that they're interested in developing a facility for a couple hundred people that don't have housing right now. And the program that they're looking at is something called Housing First, where they try to get people housed before taking care of some of the issues that they're facing, like chemical dependency and things along those lines.
There's also an interesting video that the mayor sent me concerning it, which was... what's the name of that show?
Yeah, it was from the Daily Show. With
I expected it to be humorous.
Right.
To some degree it was, but it was really interesting and the impact of having no homeless people around.
Right.
Interesting. You might want to share it with the rest of the council.
Okay. All right. So if council would like, I can certainly send that link to you. It is the program that the City of Everett is looking at. Actually, Snohomish County and the City of Everett are looking at modeling here. They did it in Utah. And again, it does come from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And there's a little humor to it, but if you watch it, there are factual things that they make in there. The first meeting that I went to on homelessness in Everett, they did play that, and it was that that state employee that was there that gave the presentation. And so that's, again, the model that they're trying to use. All right, anything further on that one?
No.
Okay. I also took tours of businesses on Thursday. The Economic Alliance of Snohomish County organized the tours. I tried to get the tours later in the day, but because they were the ones putting together the meetings, and because of the way the businesses were, and they wanted to do three in one day, they didn't want to just come out to one like we've done in the past. We had one at one, one at two, and one at three. We toured the boat building facility. What was it again?
Cutwater.
I thought you said Tumwater. Yeah, Cutwater. Over in the industrial park. What was really cool there is that while we were there, they rolled one of the new boats right off the assembly line. The boat retails for just about $100,000. Because our state legislature has been so kind as to do streamlined sales tax, that is revenue that we do not realize here because that boat will be delivered somewhere else. So that was something that was interesting, was sitting there and seeing a $100,000 boat being just rolled right out, and I know that that's going to go somewhere else. To have that kind of thing built here in town is cool. It's just cool. Lost revenue aside, it's cool. And it's made out of fiberglass. You're sitting there and you're seeing these rolls of fiberglass. It looks like cloth. I mean, I didn't touch it, but it looks like rolls of cloth, and all they're doing is they're just rolling it out into a form and baking it or doing whatever it is they do with it, and it comes out the other end a boat. So, I mean, my mother does quilting. I've never seen it become a boat. So we went there. We also did the Canyon Creek again, and we'd been at Canyon Creek before. Last year they did about $50 million
$1 million in revenue from Canyon Creek. Again, things that are delivered elsewhere. They employ about 330 people. They just completed a 28,000 square foot addition to their facility because they needed more room for storage. They're hoping to ramp up another 100 or two over the next couple years because they see that their product is going to be in need, aka more new homes. We then went across the street from there to Rhino, and that was a smaller company, but they do metal fabrication there. And so one of the vendors that they serve is they build some of the components to the Genie lifts that are in Redmond. So Genie builds its equipment in Redmond. Those are like the cherry pickers and things like that, the blue machines. But they make some of the accessories here, like the gas tanks and things like that. So that was cool walking through there and seeing things go from a computer design to somebody welding it to out the door. So also on Thursday last week, I met with our Chamber of Commerce board. I actually made chili. That was nerve-wracking, making chili for a chef and for the Dutchman. Chef Adam was kind enough to have two bowls of my chili. I think I did okay there. We talked about the signage, the wayfinding signs that went up, and events for the year, and a couple other items, but it was a really good meeting, always good getting together with them. Paper Tigers last night, great event. Everybody else has spoken about that, and I too really appreciate what the Monroe Coalition is doing. Wayfinding signs, going back to wayfinding signs, I had somebody send me a picture last night of a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit sign maybe 3 feet in front of a new wayfinding sign. I followed up with staff, and the DOT was the one that told us where to put the signs. They did know that the signs were that close together. They will be moving that sign, and I've posted that on the mayor's Facebook page since I have received two phone calls for it, but all four of the signs are now up, and I thank our Chamber of Commerce and the City Council and staff for helping to make that happen. Let me see if there's anything else. So this morning, and 5:22. So this morning I attended Snohomish County Infrastructure Transportation.
Snohomish County Committee for Improving Transportation.
That's right, it's got two C's.
Yeah,
two C's. So I attended that meeting this morning at 7:30 in South Everett, and to let you know, if you haven't seen your email yet, I'll let you know now. We are now members of the Economic Alliance of Snohomish County, and we are now members of SCIT. SCIT has been, and the Economic Alliance have been very helpful in advocating for 5:22, and again, they were the ones that set up the tours on Thursday last week. They can help promote Monroe, but at SCIT this morning we talked about 5:22 and some of the other transportation needs around the county, and we were talking about the next steps that they're looking at, and they're looking a couple years into the future, like pushing for grade separated crossings. And so Brad's been kind enough to give me some pretty crazy looking designs of things like overpasses over Frylands and Kelsey and whatnot. So if anybody wants to glance at those, I've got them on my desk in there. But we will be working with SCIT to talk about things like freight mobility and how the railroads impact things here in town. Mr. Walzer was there to talk about the extension of 526, which is the Boeing Speedway from Boeing all the way out to
Spokane.
Oh, he was out to North Dakota.
Oh, yeah, and then Idaho, North Dakota, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't being sarcastic. He was all the way out to North Dakota. So he was talking about having a privately owned toll road that could connect basically Boeing to North Dakota that would run, I think, generally south of Monroe and be a new parallel to Highway 2. So that's something that he was talking about this morning. I also received word on Monday, it was reported out in the paper today, that the House in the state legislature, Cliburn had finalized the proposal for the supplemental transportation budget. It included a proviso that the of the $1 million that the state gets from the federal government for is it motor vehicle taxes or something, that that they wanted to make certain that the money for corridor sketches have a priority for 522. And so while that isn't the practical design we're looking at least it shows that we're being listened to down in Olympia, which I know that we're being listened to. That's not the issue, but it shows that they are working toward trying to find a way to move to kickstart 522. The corridor level sketch, again, is a higher level look. We've asked for the practical design, and when the Senate budget came out today, it didn't include the practical design and did not include the corridor sketch that the House proposal did. It sounds like both of the transportation proposals would allow, if adopted as they are right now, would allow for the $10 million that's slated for the interchange on 522 to also be allowed for the widening on 522. But again, there's no money today. It's that was sort of the opening that we went to Olympia on, is to at least get that, knowing that we could go back next year during a longer session to try to get more funds for the design. So where things are right now is that our lobbyists down in Olympia are working with the legislators to try to harmonize those two proposals, and of course we're still working for that $300,000 for the practical design. Certainly, if we can take some of the language from the House proposal that says let's prioritize 522 and meld it with the Senate proposal, that would be good for us too. It gives direction to the state Department of Transportation that 522 is a legislative priority. There was also funding in the House budget for some work on the Highway 2 trestle for those of you that head toward Everett, and that's also important for us. But has my focus? Our focus has been primarily 522. Lastly, I think that's enough for now. Does anybody have any questions for me? Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. Your description of proviso information,
yes,
was interesting. Is there a way that we can get a diagram of what steps we have to go through for 522 for the funding for it? I think I understood most of it, but it sounds like there's a lot of depth in there that would be helpful if I had some sort of a diagram that I could picture. I don't even know if something like that would exist, but
no. But it's what I'm learning is that even if something is on a planning level as opposed to an engineering level, you know, permitting level, that
right.
That it sounds like there is a degree of discretion. Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like there's a degree of discretion that if you, there are some grants you can go out and apply for that if it's shovel ready, they'll give you money for the construction. There are some that for the engineering design, you know, going up the ladder, they want a little bit more of the practical design. For the practical design, sometimes those grants, they want this corridor sketch. And so every one of them is sort of a little bit closer to getting the project done.
Okay.
I'm not clear that a corridor sketch is required because DOT said you could do practical design. I'm not certain that practical design is required. You know, if somebody came forward with $5 million, $3 million for the actual engineering and permitting, I don't think anybody would say, "Where's your practical design or your corridor sketch?" I don't sense that those are per se requirements unless you're going after a grant for the practical design, at which point they probably want the corridor sketch done. Do you see what I'm saying? It seems a little bit fuzzier than one would think that it is. Am I missing something?
No, it's very fuzzy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's the nature of the grants. If they came forward and said, "Here's a drill, go ahead, stick it in the ground, and let it get stuck for a year," you know, I guess we could do that too. I'm sorry, that's Seattle. But that was an attempt at humor. So yeah.
Answer my question. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fuzzy. Any other questions for me?
All right. Let us move on to the legislative report. Does anybody have any questions on the legislative report for now? I've already given the more detailed highlights. Okay, I don't see any questions on that. Let's go ahead and move to the extended agenda. So the agenda for next week, Liz, can you go ahead and change the Pledge of Allegiance from Scarborough to Camp, please, since he was nice enough to let...
Why don't we just leave it? Okay. I will ask someone, because we're going to try and reschedule the scout, so I'm going to ask someone to give a...
Okay, we'll leave it at Councilmember Scarborough, since that's the rotation then. Thank you. We will, under consent agenda, just regular business and checks and ACH payments. Unfinished business, we have a discussion on impact fee deferral system. Mm-hmm. We then have Councilmember reports, Finance and Human Resources Committee, which means we probably have Finance and Human Resources Committee on the 23rd?
First.
On the 1st. Today is the 23rd. Thank you.
Right.
There are no 30 days in February this year. Thank you.
Or any
other. Thanks. Okay. Snohomish County tomorrow steering committee, so Councilmember Camp will report out on that. So right now it looks like we have an agenda similar tonight with mainly just a discussion item. Looking then to March 1st, again, we have a Snohomish County tomorrow steering committee meeting. We do have one executive session and land sales update that I don't see on the March 1st agenda, or did I miss it?
Yeah,
it's there. Okay, cool. So those are on for next week. Please take a look at the rest of the agenda, March 8th and onward. Does anybody know that they're not going to be here for any of those days or have any questions about the extended agenda? Councilmember Davis?
I won't be here on the 1st.
Okay, Councilmember Davis will not be here on March 1st. Anybody else? Okay, and will we have a quorum for Finance and Human Resources Committee? Is everybody going to be present?
Yes.
I forget who's on the committee.
Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. Ways out, I will probably be a little bit late to the March 15th meeting. Basically missing the P4 committee meeting that night.
Okay, you're going to miss P4 on
March 15th.
March 15th, okay. So we'll put you down as absent on the Ides of March for a P4. All right, anybody else? All right, I have no other business for the evening. Councilmember Hanford?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, everybody. We're adjourned.
Oh!